Alrighty, welcome to The Customer Isn't Always Right on 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. If you're listening, it's probably 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. If it's not, you're listening on WRUU.creek.fm, and you're listening on a laptop because the phone app is really whack for right now. They're working on it. But we're here for another interview. I'm here with Grace. Introduce yourself. Say hello.
Hi, I'm Grace.
Awesome. We're going to take a pause real quick, as we always do, for some promotions, and then we'll be right back.
Do you like music? WRUU offers unique and diverse shows you probably won't find anywhere else. Did you know that we offer over 20 hours of jazz per week? How about over 20 hours per week of international music? If you like rock, blues, and metal, we've got it. How about music show tunes, soul, Motown, funk, disco, R&B, reggae, bossa nova, salsa, Americana, exotica, indie, opera, and classical. We've got these too. Check out our schedule at WRUU.org.
You are listening to your radio station, WRUU, which is presented by people just like you, people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, co-workers, and other people from Savannah and the Coastal Empire. Therefore, WRUU is your community radio station. So won't you please help by donating whatever you can afford to help your neighbors stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station with a monetary contribution of any amount. Again, support your local radio station at WRUU.org.
Check, check, 1, 2. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.
Savannah Music Local and Sustainable features conversations with and the music of local musicians and musicians performing in and around Savannah. Join me, Dave Lake, and these musical guests each week on Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. on WRUU.
Check, check, 1, 2.
Theros Place, a nonprofit that provides residential services for survivors of human trafficking, will host an open house for those interested in learning more about volunteer opportunities, board committees, and the Courage Club from the board directors and the leadership team at Savannah Coffee Roasters, 215 West Liberty Street, Savannah, on Friday, June 5th from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. More information is available at therosplace.com.
And we're back. So, the customer isn't always right. Different people, different types of service industry. I know a lot of people like to think of service industry as just like bartending and serving. I kind of view it differently. I feel like it's anyone who kind of deals with customers and provides them with something. You're providing them with a service, whether it's painting the house or buying a drink for them. So, all right, Grace, what's good? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I worked in hospitality, strictly luxury hospitality, for about 2 years. I've been gone from it for also about 2 years.
How much service experience would you say you have other than those 2 years?
So I worked in the marina industry for 6 years prior to that.
Okay.
And it was for a boat club, not just a marina. Mm. So the club owned the boats and rented them to the members who paid for their membership. So more of like a regular kind of vibe with the customers in that sense. So you got to build better relationships.
And people who wanted to go out on boats but didn't want to maintain them.
Right. And because the boats, they didn't own them, they treated them like they didn't own them. So right. That was fun. But I would say in terms of my two hospitality positions, that one was more fun, probably because of the team.
Right. I mean, also too, when you have like more regulars, mm-hmm. and more, you know, familiar faces that you see with every day, you build a rapport, and
right.
it makes the job less jobby and more.
And remembering someone's dog's name goes a really long way.
Just remembering anybody's name goes a long way sometimes when you're in any of those hospitality style like businesses. Okay, so what? Tell me more about the hotel stuff.
Yes, so I toggled back and forth between a front desk agent and a concierge.
So front desk meaning like checking people in, that sort of thing.
Checking people in, you are the face of the hotel. Everyone goes through you for everything.
So but are you also providing people with stuff around town? Because I know a concierge does that to a degree.
Yes.
What's the difference between the two other than not being able to check people in?
Yes. So the main difference would be the checking in. So a front desk agent would be the person you go to check in, the person when you need housekeeping items, the person when you want to order food from an on-site restaurant, the person when you want to get a hold of the concierge. So they are essentially the middleman for every customer to every other department within the hotel.
Okay, cool. Cool. So like kind of like the receptionist for the hotel.
Exactly, okay. Yes. And then the concierge is more of kind of like a problem solver or like puzzle piece, you know, figuring out, do you have food allergies? You want to go on this tour on this time, but we want dinner across town. How are you going to get there? What time is your flight? Do you want luxury transportation? Like I said, I worked in a luxury hotel, so everything was a yes. Nothing was a no.
Right.
Lots of my managers said, we are a yes hotel, and that was sort of ingrained into us.
So now also, because I know there's like a lot of guests and only so many people.
Right.
Did you have like a set of people that you dealt with, or was it just like
whoever happened to be there? Through the hotel, there were two front desks. So whenever someone would walk in, if you were seated, you would have to stand up and greet them, welcome them into the hotel. And then whichever person they walked to, that's the person that would check them in.
Okay.
So really, it depended on your shift, really, how many people you interacted with.
So you said you did the front desk and the concierge stuff?
Yes, I toggled back and forth. Sometimes I would have to do both at the same time, but Jesus. I did get paid a different wage, so I tried to keep them as separate as possible.
Okay. So with the concierge, though, that was kind of more the question I was trying to ask was, as the concierge, it's the same thing. You're just like whoever comes to you. Because yes. I remember some of the information seems like very specific, like food allergies and stuff like that. I'm not going to – how are you remembering like how many people were able to be in that hotel at one time is first
so
question.
So that hotel had 167 rooms.
So you had to get 160 like plus people's like itineraries?
Not necessarily. It was mostly the ones that sought you out and needed assistance. But some forms of booking offer extra amenities within their stay. So like sometimes like Amex has a really great booking site where you get like an amenity in your room. You get a breakfast voucher. You get like lots of extra stuff like late checkout. And there's like a something on there that talks about concierge, so they always seek you out. And sometimes we'll get emails like weeks and weeks beforehand about like, I'm celebrating a birthday, an anniversary, I'm proposing. The amount of times a man would email me saying, hey, I'll be down there in a week and I'm proposing. Can you help me plan the whole day? I'm like, I planned so many proposals, put so many rose petals in rooms. Like, it was insane. Oh my gosh. There was also champagne at the front desk. Well, sparkling wine. I got corrected by a lot of people from France. They hated that. so it was just, you know, dealing with it was expensive to stay at the hotel, to say the least. And so you get a lot of different people there, either someone who saved up for it for a while and they're so excited to be there, but they're a little more frugal. And then, you know, the people that are just like so rich, they're like, oh, this is a drop in the bucket. And then the rich ones that are frugal as well, which is kind of the worst, in my opinion, where you didn't read the fine print that there's a destination amenity fee of $36 per day. And you're coming to me to yell about it at the end of your stay at like 7 a.m. when I'm doing the billing for you to leave, which was also a responsibility of the front desk agent to go through and do the accounting for every single departure day of. So if there was 100 plus, I would text my manager and be like, I'm coming in at 6 so I can do it without people talking to me.
Yeah.
6 a.m.
Just so it's done and I'm not there afterwards.
So it's because you have to be like mentally present, physically present to the guest, but you're also working on all that accounting.
Yeah.
So it's truly multitasking. It's
that's
a lot.
Crazy.
It's mentally exhausting. I was not really. I was also in school at the time. I was a senior, like a double senior. It took me 5 years, but like the whole time. So just really intense classes and having, you know, a mentally taxing job at the same time. I just didn't really feel like a human most of the time.
Right. Yeah. I can see how that kind of drains you. Like, did you ever watch the show What We Do in the Shadows?
I've seen some of it. Yes.
Yeah. There's a vampire on there. There's an energy vampire called Colin Robinson.
Yes. Yes. And, oh my gosh.
Yeah. That is so funny. And I feel like a lot of that is real. Like there's a lot. Sometimes you come into work, and like this has happened to me at the bar numerous times. Mm-hmm. I come in like ready to go. Like hell yeah, this is gonna mm-hmm. be awesome. And then like, you know, a group of 10 people come in and they're all just. They're
right.
all just
one
draining.
Interaction and your whole shift is ruined.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, like I have no will to live right now. Like I'm gonna go in the bathroom and yell for a little bit, you know.
Oh, going to the bathroom and having a little cry, that happens
yeah.
very often, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause even like I can't even escape if I wanna like smoke a cigarette or something. Like people are like, you know when my song is up, you know, good. I'm like, yo, are you kidding me right now?
Am I fear I might have been one of those and I apologize.
No, but you're good. Like you don't like you're it's like there's some people who are just like you know, I had an interaction the other day when I was coming at it. I was about to go in the bathroom, and this guy's like, hey, man, I want to do a song. I'm like, cool. When I come out of the bathroom and
no,
sit
literally.
Back at the computer, you can ask me. And he's like, what? You can't just do? I was like, dude, I'm not even in front of the computer.
You're literally human.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I go in the bathroom, and I just hear him talking garbage, just talking trash the whole time. Like, he couldn't
like,
just
there's not just a door separating
yeah, like,
you, know?
Like, dude,
common
oh, my
sense,
God.
Guys.
I have to remind people all the time, like, yo, you are drinking at, you're having a good time. You're here at a party type thing.
Right.
I'm working.
Exactly.
You know, like, chill.
You should have demanded a tip out of that one for him to go.
Chill. Sometimes you got to just cut people off. Like, it is what it is.
No, right.
But, like, I get it. It's like, all of these things can be, like, hyper crazy. Like, I remember I stayed at a Hilton in Manhattan, like across the street from Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, wow.
It was like a whole thing. We were there and we were in a presidential suite up like.
Oh, my goodness.
There was a whole separate lobby for us.
No way.
Yeah. And we had our own concierge that we could call at any
I've
time.
I've heard of that before. This was.
I couldn't find Cartoon Network and I called them at 3 in the morning. He's like, this is a business suite, dude. We don't have it. And I was like, oh. I was like, where can we get alcohol? Like right now. Like,
I'm not going to lie. The only channel I will watch in a hotel when I'm a guest is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny show. But yeah, it was like mostly, it was cool. It was like a little apartment. But yeah,
that's so sick.
Like we called the dude at like 2 in the morning to like, you know, find some stuff. He was really cool, but I could tell he was stressed out.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I was not. So the head concierge, for some reason, is called chef concierge.
Okay.
So I never had that position. And that person really did a lot more than I did in terms of preparing for guest arrivals. So I think that took more than half of the job than actually people coming up to you saying, hey, this is the kind of cuisine I want. This is the atmosphere I'm looking for. These are the allergies we have. What can you do for us? Which, I mean, is really fun. I love problem solving, and that's kind of what I do at my current job now, which is thankfully not customer forward.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was like preparing for arrivals, knowing when birthdays are, familiarizing yourself with people who have been there before. There's always a little thing that says how many stays they've had with you.
Yeah.
Which was really helpful. So you could say, welcome back. Or you could say, welcome to Savannah. Is this your first time here? And you wouldn't look like a fool.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was cool because the band I was in at the time, we were playing the New York City Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So like we didn't want to eat. We were not interested in eating a hotel. So we kind of just like, he knew like, okay, I know you guys have a show here and a show here. Like this time he's like, there's this kind of food here and this kind of food here. And mm-hmm. like after hours, this is what's going on. And
right.
like, I know that you guys have the press passes for certain places. So like, here's how to get to these places.
Oh, cool.
So it was really cool. But I could tell he's like had a lot going on because it seemed like there was other stuff going on too.
We tried to make it a little easier on ourselves and made sort of like SOPs almost, or like little digital brochures of like places that have happy hours and when, places that are open late, the best karaoke spots, you know, like things kind of like that. And like the best ghost tours, or just like a list of the high-end restaurants and a quick little description, maybe as like a prior email before, or if they're not really sure and they just want to kind of look over their options, we can just kind of offer that for them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so we always start at the top with like your best interactions, but like we talked about earlier before we even started, like maybe like what types of interactions do you find favorable? Like, what are mm-hmm. your top three, like, types of, like, okay, this kind of customer is really cool or whatever?
I have a few in mind. So, first one, I do consider myself a pretty extroverted person, and that's why I was, you know, capable of handling such a demanding job with lots of interactions with strangers.
Right.
So with this particular hotel, they had a list of amenities that it was protocol to go over every single one of them and sort of point in the direction that you would find that amenity from the front desk while you're checking the guest in. So sometimes you would have a large group of people come in at once that were checking into multiple rooms at one time, but they traveled in a big caravan together. And instead of having to go through that spiel like four different times and losing my voice by the end of the day, I would say, would everyone mind, you know, circling around the desk? I'd like to go over the amenities. And then just being really animated about it, talking a lot with my hands. And then the best interactions of those specifically were when they would like applaud me after. They were like, girl, you did so good. That just like it like humanized it a little bit, because it went from like robotic, like I say this 100 times a day, to someone like congratulating me for like sounding so confident and proud
professional.
Of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also with talking with my hands, with this hotel, if the guest is seated, you're seated. If the guest is standing, you're standing. Some of them played with that, you know, the champagne. They would like sit, we would sit, they would stand, we would stand. Just like as a joke. That was actually,
they just knew it, yeah.
It was kind of funny. But there was this one lady that came in really close to the end of my shift. It was a night shift, so working from like 3 to 11. And talking with my hands, letting her know all the different places in the hotel. She could go get nice food. There's a pool, there's a gym, yada, yada. And then she looks at her friend and she's like, no way. I was wearing the rings of the company she's the CEO of. And you, I wear a lot of rings. Yeah. I have rings on every finger every day. And she was like, no way. Talking about her business. And then she pulls me aside and she's like, I have some rings on me right now. Can I give you some? And it was just like an incredible interaction, you know, very end of my shift. I'm so tired. I want to go home. And then she came back a year later, sought me out and was like, I'm releasing some new ones. Can you give me your address if you're okay with that? And I want to ship some to you. So sort of like building a relationship.
That's awesome.
With people like that. It was so incredible. She's made it to Milan Jewelry Week now. So
that's awesome.
I'm following her on all the socials. It was a really incredible time. And then this hotel also has a lot of celebrities once in a while, mainly around like times in the city where we do have celebrities, like if there's a movie getting filmed or something like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes like a C-lister who's doing a film would stay for like 4 months. and so there was this one guy, obviously I'm not going to name him, but yeah, his bodyguard was like walking around with him. They're more buddies than like working together. Yeah. And since they were there for so long, we got to know their routine and when they would come back at night and just kind of their ins and outs of their day. And they got to know all of our faces and all of our names. And so they would just come up and give us a hug and just chat with us like we're actually humans, you know, not just
awesome
employees in the hotel. So, you know, getting to know people on a different level because of the longevity they're there, that was also kind of a cool thing to see.
Yeah, yeah. I've had some, like, I worked at Starbucks for two years, like a long time. I was like made it to like I was a supervisor there.
Never.
It was like one of my first jobs, and like it was easy for me. Like I don't have a problem with stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. You could be yelling inches from my face and it just doesn't bother me. I'm just like, okay.
See, not me.
Like whatever. And I find it to be funny because some people get more upset the more calm you get. They just get even more upset.
No, that actually is kind of funny.
And that makes me laugh. So, but yeah, where we were filming or where we were working in the town we were working, they were filming Sopranos. So those a lot of the cast like would all come in,
yeah,
and like just get coffee every day to the point where it was like that. We're just like BSing with them and talking
right,
with them.
Right, and you know their order at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It was making their orders. They're coming in like, hey, bye bye. You know, we're just you know talking about you know
love
random
it.
Stuff. So that stuff's cool. I like those interactions.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Any other good ones? Good types.
I mean, when people remember your face, if they come back a year later, they understand that you see so many people. The people that do understand that you
yeah.
see so many people and you might not recognize them, but they recognize you. And then they remind you a little bit of why they were there the last time. And then you're like, oh, how have you been? You know,
yeah.
I was a SCAD student at the time. So lots of parents during like move in and move out would talk to me about my time at SCAD. And they would be like, oh, would you be a mentor to my student? And I'm like, if you want to give them my socials, they can reach out, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna get paid for that. So yeah. I didn't say it like that, obviously. Yeah. We were at Yes Hotel, yeah. I said yes to everything.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
You know. Yes, but
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that. I'd been at the place where I'm at now almost like 2 years now. So I'm starting to get interactions like that. Right. People are like, oh, I was here like a year ago, da da da. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do remember that. Like, holy cow, oh my gosh, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, like, I'll remember a lot of it if it was like really cool. But if it was like, hey, yeah, I sang like one song here, it's my first time. I'm like, okay. Like, nice to see you again. Yeah, like, I see so many people. But most people who are cool about it are like, yeah, no, I get that you probably see hundreds of people just in a week. So, like,
probably thousands, honestly.
Probably. And it's super busy. And then, you know, to expect me to remember you from like a year ago is really rough, you know.
It took you a few times to remember me, but that's fine.
Right. I mean, it's rough. Like, it's, I see so many people.
I just learned your name and then I kept using it until you knew mine.
Yeah. And then I got it. Yeah. That's just the best, that's the better way to do it. And like, if I type it enough, I'll get it. Like, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Because there's some nights.
I just changed up who's doing the duet with me all the time.
Because there's some nights, like, where I'm just not even looking at people. It's so busy. Right. I'm just like, what's your name? And I'm, like, not even, like, looking at them at all. So I get it. It happens. Things blur by so fast. All right. So now let's get into some of the worst parts of it.
Yes. So kind of going back to, like, the worst kind of person, like, worst kind of customer,
people,
I guess.
People, yeah. Yeah, you spoke before about the three different, like, the people who
saved up
for a long time and are happy to be there. I would say 9 out of 10 times, those people are great. You do have the one every now and then who, like, I saved up and it took me so long and I can do whatever I want because it took me so long to get here and da-da-da. And I'm like,
it's very rare, but it is
very, very, very rare. And they are just as bad as the wealthy people who are cheap. They're both demanding in the same way, and they both just are like, they have this like privilege, like, I'm gonna do whatever I want and I don't care type thing. Yeah. They forget that people from the public are in the space, but it's still a private establishment, and if you mess up, we can get you out of there for no reason. So,
and we did have the opportunity to kind of go above and beyond for a specific guest if we wanted to, like, surprise them with a tray of macaroons made in house or something.
Yeah.
Because we just really enjoyed our interaction with them so much. So some of those couples that, like, saved up for it, this might be like a baby moon or something, and they're just like celebrating. They're just so happy to be there. There might be like small inconveniences that they're like, don't even worry about it.
Yeah, they're real
and
chill.
You actually start to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
So you, like, go out of your way to help those.
Right. I always go above and beyond for those people who I really feel like I screwed by accident or unintentionally.
Those are the ones you actually feel bad.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I didn't really mean to do that. Like, you were so cool about it. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, let me fix it.
Exactly. The ones that start hostile.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're not going to get empathy out of me.
Yeah. I'll meet you with the same energy. You know what I mean? Come back and get at me.
That the psychological part of it, of we were always told to escalate it before the guest did, because if you escalate it, they de-escalate it.
Yeah.
Because they're like not necessarily matching. They're doing the opposite of that to balance it out. They're like, oh, wait, you're actually, you know, you care about my problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you're like, hey.
They're shocked by that.
Yeah, a lot of times if you're just like, hey, I can take care of it, they're usually like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They usually just chill. And then they'll accept whatever result it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But then the other people who just, like, keep going, they want more than they were ever going to get, period.
They just complain to get money back.
Yeah.
Everything is transactional.
Yeah.
In a hotel specifically. I learned that as well. Like, even if you're not, like, selling an upgrade or something, you're preventing having to pay the customer out.
Yeah.
So it's from both ends of that spectrum. But every interaction is transactional. And also, they're usually lies.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Like, the...
I love the, they let me do it last time. And it's like, no, they didn't.
But also from your side.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, there was one time where they were fumigating for biological funk. That is a four-letter word that a lot of people are scared to hear.
Yeah.
And they printed out this, like, hundreds of this letter that basically said, we're doing hotel enhancements during your stay, and had to present this, like, weird letter to the guest. Like, we never had physical things like that to give to the guest unless it was their key.
Right.
And to hand them that piece of paper and explain, like, try and get ahead of it, it was like one of my worst days there.
That's got to be a weird spot. Like, I've been in places where, like, I worked at a kitchen that doesn't exist anymore. One time, like, the sewage backed up, and, like, we just had to lie about it all day or else we were going to get, like, shut down.
Right.
So it was just like, oh, well, you know, like, they're doing something next door, this, that, a third. And it's just like,
yeah,
I hate, like, I wouldn't eat here. Like, it sucks that I have to force these people to do this. Like,
right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like, there is a fair amount of lying when you're talking about corporate settings, when you're talking about corporate hospitality as well. Like, I had to do it at Starbucks a couple times. I've had to do it, like.
The larger the company gets, the more the, like, low-end people lie to the customers or have to.
Right.
To, you know, continue the facade.
Right.
It was just, as an empath, it like, burnt my soul.
Yeah, you also become, like, you become, like, cannon fodder. You know what I mean? Because if a customer gets into it with you, they're using your name when they call the company.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you're getting fired.
And you have to wear a name tag.
Yeah, you're getting fired for trying to protect the company on some BS. But, you know, the CEO's face is not behind that complaint. Like, the complaint is you. You know what I mean? So it's.
And don't even get me started on reviews. Like, that was the entire, like, anything that happened was going for a good review. Like, even if, you know, like I mentioned, getting this really sweet couple a tray of macaroons, it was in the sake of a review. There was always that underlying for the sake of a review.
Yeah, hopefully you'll give us a review.
You know, like, it was never just to be a nice person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when you get to those, like, smaller B&Bs that, yes, they might have some really great reviews. Maybe a couple, like, I had a horrible stay, this is why. But I feel like the smaller you get, the more humanized it is.
Yeah. Well, because you form relationships with those people. It's a smaller crew in a smaller place. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the same people every day. Mm-hmm. You know, you stay there for a week, you're seeing the same people every day.
Right.
It's not like you could stay there for a week at a bigger place and you might not see the same person ever.
We had to have a large team, and there's always going to be some drama if you have a large team.
Yeah, of course.
There's always going to be a few people that can't work together or, you know.
My favorite are the people who feel like everything can be done a better way.
Or they have to do it themselves. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, sorry. Yeah, I interrupted you. So, we'll get back to those three customers.
So, one that comes to mind, it was a concierge thing. It was this older couple, like, much, much older, like, senior citizens.
Okay.
Obviously, had been most likely retired, had been wealthy for a long time, not sure if self-made or generational or whatnot.
Right.
But just demanding the most difficult reservations. There's one restaurant in Savannah that is almost impossible to get a day of reservation. And even, like, walking in for the bar is really, really difficult. And he had, like, a private walking tour, like, ghost tour or something, and then said, I'm showing up to this restaurant at this time, you're gonna get me a reservation.
That's not how that works, sir.
We had a house car, and I had the house car take me to the restaurant to literally beg the hostess for a reservation in my uniform. Like, that was one of the most degrading moments. And it didn't even work. They couldn't even fit them in.
Oh my God.
He yelled at me over the phone, and then he came back to the hotel, walked to my desk I was sitting at in the lobby in front of people, and yelled at me again, telling me how horrible of an employee I was.
Wow.
That I couldn't even do this one thing. I had to step away and cry.
That would have been my job that day. I'd have been like, all right, man,
I don't cry easily with those kind of things, especially from strangers, but just the severe, like, the level he took it to, and because of the people that witnessed it. I had, like, people that saw that happen come to me later that night, and they're like, are you okay? Like, that was unacceptable.
Yeah.
I hope he gets, like, blacklisted from this hotel or something.
Yeah, sometimes you get customers who witness stuff like that, And like I've capitalized off of those things before, where like a customer's just being real poopy with me, and there's like, you know, five or six customers around them, and once that person leaves, they're like, dude, what?
Right.
Like, here's some money. And I'm like, right. Yeah, thanks, man. Like, I'm still a little peeved, but yeah, I'll take your money. Like, thanks.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I did actually get a few tips.
Like, I'm still a little like I'm a little damaged, but yeah, thank you. The money makes it feel a little bit better. Like I can pat my tears some of these, you know.
Right. And then back to the front desk. Like I said, we had to do all the accounting as well because we didn't have a separate team within the front desk that just did that.
Here, wait, pause.
Yeah.
Those are my least favorite customers. Getting back to that last guy, like someone, you know, when someone asks you to do something you literally cannot do and is out of your control.
And doing everything in your power to make it happen, but it still can't happen.
Yeah, or even if it's just, like, not possible. I've had, like, just as small as, like, yo, I want to do this song. Okay, I type it in. We don't have it. All right, well, type in the artist name. Okay. All right, well, now type, now do it with the song. Like, you can't do it on YouTube. I'm like, oh, my God, like, I can't. Like, I'm telling you, bro, I don't have it. And then just, like, having them freak out and, like, complain. Oh, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, or certain rules, like, I had this dude a few months ago try to get me fired because I wouldn't let him say the N-word in a rap song.
Oh, my what? Gosh.
You know what I mean? What? Like, bro, not only is it just out of respect, but it's for your own good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you don't
know
who's
there for a freaking reason.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Don't know who's there. And, like, you know what? Like, at the time, I was just like, God, I should have just let him do it and just watched him get his ass beat. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
You know, and it's just
is that
like
a personal rule or a rule of the bar?
It's a rule that my boss and I have just because
it's
like,
gotcha.
You know, you it's.
I think it's a good rule. I was just, yeah, I wanted a little more context on that.
Because also there's people, like I had to kick a 6-year-old man out for dropping the N-word with the hard R. And I was like, oh no, like no. I stopped the music and they were like, no, you gotta go, dude. Like, it's one thing if the song has, you know, the soft air or whatever it is you want to do. But, like, when you're doing that, like, you're intentionally, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
right
yeah,
now.
Get out of here. And then, like, getting mad at me and, you know what I mean? Like, lying about it in the review.
Oh, my gosh.
And then
no,
I'm,
that's the worst. Yeah. It's always the reviews.
Lying about it in the review. And then I have to kind of have a conversation with the GM of the bar. Like, look, no, this is what happened.
No, literally.
And they're like, oh, all right.
And sometimes your boss doesn't even believe you. They don't always take your side.
I've been at places where they don't back you at all. And I'm like, dude, are you serious? Like that,
right.
Like we're talking about a racist issue. Like I'm not, this is not like a, like what, you're not going to get my back on this. Like that's messed up.
Right, right. And you just feel like, you know, alone in the water in that moment.
Yeah, like you, I felt like I did was like what was right. And now I'm going to get chastised for it. Like, that's great.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, how does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
2 plus 2 is not equaling 4 right
now.
No,
there. No. Yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No worries. So we had to do like all the accounting and whatnot. And there's like Georgia taxes or Georgia fees or something with any hotel in Georgia.
Yeah.
And there's also that particular one had a destination amenity fee per day, which was like $35-$36. And so when they would get their bill was very difficult to read from like the customer side because it broke every little thing down rather than like categorizing the fees and then like the bar charges, the room charges, all of that. So it was just really difficult. And a lot of guests would come down like freaking out, like, what is this charge? What is this? What is this? And the amount of times I got yelled at for a Georgia tax.
Something
on
that's
a bill
it has nothing to do with you.
That's literally the government.
Yeah.
I'm just a front desk agent. Get over it. It's like $4 a day. And like not reading the fine print of the reservation saying there will be a destination amenity fee per day. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and that was the first thing that went out the window whenever there was like a really bad complaint and you knew they weren't going to stop complaining until they got something. So you would have to go get approval from your supervisor and just adjust it off. And that was like the first thing to go because it wasn't like literally the government, it wasn't taxes.
Yeah.
It was just
some random
a policy
fee
of that specific hotel.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it annoyed me every time someone got that off though, just just from opening their mouth, because they opened their mouth to get something out of it. You know, they didn't actually have an actual issue. They were just like, it took 4 minutes for me to get my towels instead of 2 minutes and 15 seconds, which is the time it's supposed to take. Oh, and also, because it was a big corporation, there were auditors, secret auditors that would come through. Oh, you never knew. So you just had to always be on your toes about, what if this is an auditor? They're asking me these questions. Like, I need to. And we had one person on our team that actually went through every arrival every day and, like, look them up on LinkedIn to try and figure out who the auditors would be, so we could give them an extra nice time and then give everyone else, you know, subpar, you know, but also trying to upsell at the same time and get a good review. It's just like, it was just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like, all of that is like, just, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be because there might be an auditor, or because they're, you know, or because we're trying to upsell, or blah, blah. It's just like, all of that should be organic. Standard. Yeah, right. That should be the standard. It should be organically happening. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to be forcing people to do that.
Exactly. And they had their names on the TVs when they walked in, and the amount of times people would call down and be like, it's not my name on the TV, and am I in the wrong room? No, just give it like 20 minutes. They take a little bit extra time sometime. Just like, chill out.
It's a system.
Come get some champagne at the front desk. You're on vacation. Don't make it my problem.
Yeah, like, really? This is the thing that's going to blow your whole vacation up, is that your name's on the TV? Come on.
Your vacation was already ruined if that's going to mess it up.
Yeah, it was ruined well before you got here. all right, so you got a third on those?
I mean, really just the kind of person who doesn't... So we were a yes hotel, but there's sometimes you have to say no. Like, we stopped serving champagne at this time at night because of city laws. We have to put Georgia taxes on there because of state laws. So just people who can't take no for an answer... when that is the only answer.
Right.
It's just like, I feel like I'm talking in circles, you know?
Right. Right. It's, it gets really annoying. Sometimes it gets really annoying, especially when, certain policies like contradict other policies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or, it's,
And I also, when policies are that strict, I really disliked when a supervisor agreed to go against them as like a, quote, one-time thing. And then it just keeps happening. Like the destination amenity fee getting taken off. Like that's in your booking.
Well, now they expect it every time.
And now they expect it every time.
Every time that customer comes back there, they're going to expect it to not be there.
Yes. Or just passing them a breakfast voucher because there was a breakfast restaurant on property and we just had them in the drawer with the key cards, and whenever there was an issue and we felt like we could resolve it without talking to a supervisor, we could just give one of those.
Yeah,
but like, you didn't pay the part, you know, you didn't pay for your stay to include that.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, when it's not necessary, it's just like a little degrading in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a little, like, it's fully, like, especially when you get into it with a customer about something that can't be done, and then someone comes behind you, and it's like, oh, yeah, no problem.
Oh, my gosh, that was the worst. When the supervisor came behind you, and you're sticking with policy, and then they eavesdrop for a minute, and they're like, oh, no, I'm going to take care of this for you. You're making me look like an idiot.
Yeah.
When I'm just following the rules of my job.
Yeah, you just made me look terrible.
What happened to, like, looking out for your team members? Why can't you pull me aside, talk to me about it, and then come out and then finish the interaction without me?
Yeah. Right.
Why is it necessary to, you know, throw me under the bus?
In front of a customer, right.
In front of the customer.
And no employee should be dressing down another employee in front of customers ever.
No.
That should never be a thing. That's a problem I had at a couple of restaurants. Like, it's not okay to, like, if you got a problem with me, pull me aside, pull me outside, pull me to the walk-in, pull me wherever. But let's not do this in front of customers. Because if we do, then this is going to be a massive problem.
Exactly.
All right. So now... we discussed, normally I ask people if they're still, I'll just ask anyway, if you're still in it, why do you do it? If you're not in it, why?
Right. Why? So I did leave about 2 years ago. So I went from the marina job to this hotel job just to, I was at the marina for like 6 years. I needed something different, but still something to get me through college.
Right.
So once I had my degree, I was pretty transparent with them. I was like, hey, I'm looking for jobs using my degree. That was the whole point of getting the degree.
Yeah, I'm now overqualified, so understand.
Right. And I didn't even study hospitality. I studied furniture and interior design.
But even still, the definition of overqualification because you could leave at any time.
Right, exactly. And I was very transparent, and I feel like that was a pretty, you know, noble thing to do with how big a part of the team I had become. I built up the concierge team tremendously from what it was since I had started. And then had a few interviews. They fell through, and then things started to get a little toxic, and so I started to stop being honest about when I had interviews. And then I left a little abruptly because of some issues with my supervisor. And I gave a 4-day notice because that's what I was able to do. I had to wait until my offer came through on my current job, signed it, and then my next day of scheduled work. And I presented a really professional 4-day notice, thanked them for my time there, for allowing me to have that experience. And I was forced off property and asked to not finish the 4 days.
Yep.
So thankfully, I had a feeling that might have happened. So I prepared for it and I shared every piece, every SOP I ever made with my team to make sure that they would not drown without me.
Yeah.
So that was a really fun time. But I mean, I had a little bit of a vacation. So.
Yeah, I think it's funny that it's hilarious, actually, like extremely hilarious that jobs require you to give them a 2-week notice before you leave.
But they can fire you at any time.
Exactly. You're not going to give me 2 weeks to find a job.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? So why do I need to give you 2 weeks to find my replacement? Like, I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care if I'm burning a bridge, but, like, I know by law that if my new employer calls you, all they can ask you is, would you rehire them?
Right.
And the only answer you can give is yes or no, and that's it. You can't sit there and talk.
And I did have one of my supervisors who became a close friend of mine and still is to this day. I asked her to be my reference instead of the, like, head supervisor, which I think was a great call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's a good thing to do is, like, take people who are in a position above you sometimes at these jobs where you just leave right away and be like, hey, man, I'm going to have them call you instead of such and such. And that's usually a better way to do it. But in those positions where you're, like, having overlapping jobs, it's just like, whatever.
And, like, to do the whole dad thing, like, I'm disappointed. Okay, be disappointed. You caused this. I would have given more time if I could have. And, you know,
and
you
don't get
burnt the bridges for me.
Yeah, this is not a family, so enough with that.
There was this, like, umbrella company that employed me, but it wasn't the large corporation that the hotel was under. And she was like, oh, I'm not going to say it, but blank hospitality is never going to hire you ever again. I'm going to make sure of that. And I'm like, okay, well, this is not my career path. That's fine. Thanks for letting me know. I'll never apply to one.
Yeah, this is a pit stop. Like, I don't know what you don't get.
Exactly. Like, I was so transparent. This is to get me through the rest of college. And I was then graduated. I think I only stayed there, like, maybe 5 or 6 months after graduating, which in hindsight, you know what, in terms of turnover in hospitality, that's a really long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being there for 2 years is basically like tenured professor
at
a front desk.
Yeah, because you run into places where, like, yeah, I've only been here for like a year. I've only been here for 6 months. You're like, what?
You know, and expecting to train all the new people without getting compensated for it.
Not a fan of that.
Nope.
Not a fan of that. Not a fan of that. Or being rewarded with helping someone else's
rock star nominations so you can get recognized in front of the people at the hotel holiday party at the end of the year. No, I'd rather have compensation than be my name, like, everybody look at me in the center of a room. No.
Yeah, I'd rather have money. But I just don't like when it's just like, oh, you finished your work. Cool, go help this person. I want some of their money if I'm going to go help them. I want half of their paycheck. I want whatever they're getting. If they're getting paid $20 this hour, I want $10.
Exactly.
On top of what I'm getting paid right now to help them, because that's BS. I'm not giving free labor. Like, I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
Anyway, so what do you do now? Is it, like, totally opposite?
Not even in the realm. I am a quality control for a university campus.
Awesome.
So it's a lot of project management that's kind of like adjacent to design. I work like exclusively with the designer team for this university, like alongside them on a lot of projects, but really just handle all things quality control. And it's a lot of problem solving again. And I really enjoy that. But it's this time it's not customer facing.
Right.
So
right.
It's incredible.
You can take your time to think about it. Yeah.
I'm walking across all the buildings all the time. It's a good like in my office versus walking like outside and out and about. So it's really nice. And I'm able to, you know, feel like a human when I leave work and have a social life. I didn't have a social life until getting this job. So
all right. So let's since we have 15 minutes, let's mush these last two into the same thing.
Cool.
Advice for anyone getting into what you were into in the hotel stuff for new people, and then for customers going there to that, like, what advice can you give these people?
Absolutely. I thought of an answer to this earlier. I knew you were going to ask something like it. So, like I mentioned earlier, we wore name tags, so everybody knew our name. I've said to multiple people, like, recounting my experience, that I should have put a different name on it and just become a different character when I was on shift, because that's
it's a performance.
What I did, it is a performance.
All these jobs are performance.
The
like, don't get it twisted, people.
Worked at a hotel does not exist anymore, and she will never exist again.
Yeah.
And it just the sheer difference between like who I am now versus who I had to become, clocking in.
Yeah.
Insane. So just know that if you're going into this career path, it is experience you can't get anywhere else, and you know, if it really helped me learn how to communicate with other departments and other professionals. So I do have that to thank hospitality for.
And but you have to do it all on the fly.
Exactly. It's a lot of it's improv. It's you know, performance.
Again, it's a performance. Like everything, like I can't express this enough within these interviews when I talk to people. It is a performance. You are it's a show. It's not these jobs are not, you know, like factory jobs where you're doing something. You have to literally put on a different face. It doesn't matter what's going on outside of work. You have to come into work and pretend like it's not happening.
Yes.
So I agree with you, like having a different name. Like I use half of my name at work. You know what I mean? It's easier that way. So then, you know, so you can differentiate. You know what I mean? You have to be able to put on that game face, but yeah.
Right. Oh, I just lost my train of thought right there. what was the other question?
People.
Oh, customers.
Advice for customers.
Read the fine print of your hotel reservation. Know if you have a destination menu fee you'll be paying for, and be prepared for that. But also just know that, you know, front desk agents, they interact with hundreds upon hundreds of people. Oh, that was my train of thought. Okay, yeah. So you might be saying roughly the same thing to every customer, but every interaction is different.
Yeah.
So it really is just a performance.
Right, improv. Yeah, the conversations are very improvisational. Yes. You're trying to, and it's improvisational also in the sense of like there's rules. Like you have to stay within this boundary, and you have to make it work.
Right.
Like you can't go out. You can't call her outside of the line sometimes.
Right. And again, with the customers, like these are people, and this is probably not the end of the line for their career. This is probably just a placeholder.
A stepping stone,
like a lot of people.
Yeah.
So just know that there's probably a lot going on outside of this job, either multiple other jobs or school or whatnot. So just treat them like a human. And if you have issues, don't attack the front desk agent. I guarantee it's not their fault. It's probably another department's fault, but they're the face of the hotel, so they get the brunt of the yelling.
Yeah.
So just know, just be a little more human, you know?
Yeah. Understand the word. Yeah, we're not robots, and again, it's rules. We're working within the rules. We're you know, cars on a track. You know what I mean? We can't change anything. Exactly. So like, you can't get mad at us. We didn't, you know, even in like as a server, they didn't cook your burger, so you can't get mad at the server when your burger comes out wrong.
And it's kind of insane how far a little bit of kindness can go sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially if, like, I was having a bad day and someone complimented my jewelry or something, it would just make my day. I would instantly feel happier and then go out of my way to make sure you're having a great day.
Paying it forward, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's been times where I just, like, I'm at work and I feel like I'm doing a terrible job and someone's like, hey, man, you're doing a great job. And I'm like, oh. awesome. See, like I am
exactly.
Sweet.
Like a little bit of kindness goes a long way. That's like giving an inch, taking a mile.
Yeah.
In a different sense.
Yeah. Right. 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 It's like, It's just, You're giving the mile instead of taking it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool beans. This is great. It was a great talk.
Yeah, thank you. I can talk you off forever. Yeah, about this.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, once I get into doing other things, there's people I want to like come back to.
Oh,
you
my
know
gosh,
what I mean,
yeah.
Have like little like, yeah, little rehashes to see what's going on with some people. With people who said they started other things or doing whatever. So,
yeah.
It's good. This has been The Customer Isn't Always Right. You can listen on 107.5 FM, WRUU.org, or you can listen to it on WRUU.creek.fm. And you can catch me on Facebook, The Customer Isn't Always Right Talk Show, I think is what it is. And you can DM me there if you want to be on or if you feel like you know someone who wants to be on. So we'll catch you again soon. Have a good day. It's summer's happening.
Yep.
It's hot.
It's hot.
It's getting hot. But all right, guys, we will catch you later. Goodbye.